This morning, you're invited to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. A reading from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. Hear now these words. For 3 years, Aram and Israel continued that war. But in the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? Yet we are doing nothing to take out of the hand of the king of Aram." He said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses." But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" They said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no other prophet of the Lord here of whom we may inquire?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one other by whom we may inquire the Lord, Micaiah, son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies anything favorably about me, but only says disaster." Jehoshaphat said, "Let the king not say such a thing." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and the king Jehoshaphat of Judah were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, son of Chineah, made for himself horns of iron, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Armenians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets were prophesying the same, saying, "Go to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it to the hand of the king." The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the words of prophets were one accord favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them, speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." When he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" He answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything favorably about me, but only disaster?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, with all the hosts of heaven standing before him to the right and left of him. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, so he may go and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' Then one said one thing, and another said another, until a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'How?' the Lord asked him. He replied, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' Then the Lord said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do it.'" So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Chinah, came up to Micaiah, slapped him on the cheek, and said, "Which way did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?" Micaiah replied, You will find out that day when you go in to hide in the inner chamber. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison, and feed him and reduce rations of bread and water till I come in peace. Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hear, you peoples, all of you. So the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah went out to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself going to battle, but you wear your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went to battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel. When the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. And so they turned to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. When the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow and unknowingly struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. And so he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and get me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle grew hot that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Armenians. Until that evening he died. The blood from the wound had flowed into the bottom of the chariot. Then about sunset, a shout went through the army. Every man to his city, and every man to his country. So the king died. He was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and the prostitutes washed themselves in it, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. And now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all he did, and every house he built, and all the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the annals of the king of Israel? So Ahab slept with his ancestors, and his son Isaiah succeeded him. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Well, this morning we are wrapping up our trilogy on King Ahab. And we saw that King Ahab is kind of an interesting character. He's not all bad, but he's definitely doing a zigzag into self-destruction. Because there are times, we saw last week, that he will repent and become very humble, and God will have mercy on him. And today we see where God's both his justice and his mercy. Now, you may recall that King Ahab had fought a war against the kingdom of Aram. The king of Aram said, I want your wives, your children, and a bunch of money. Ahab says, sure. And then came the second note and says, actually, I want even more than that. So Ahab goes to his counselors to say, no, 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 kings, tell them no deal, no deal. And a prophet goes to Ahab and says, listen, the Lord is going to give you a great victory over this king, so you will know that he is indeed Lord. And so that year they fought a battle in the hills. God gave him a great victory. The prophet said, get ready that he will be back next year. They had a battle the next spring in the valley. Because King Aram thought that the Lord of Israel was only the God of the mountains and not the God of the valleys. But then, in the spot of that great victory, Ahab very foolishly and disobediently signs a peace deal with that king. And a prophet warned him and said, judgment is about to fall upon you. You were supposed to kill that wicked king for his wickedness, and you let him escape. Now your life will be paid in forfeit, and a day will come when the dogs will drink your blood. Well, chapter 22, we start off, 3 years has gone by, and King Ahab gets a visit from his next-door neighbor, King Jehoshaphat of Judah. And you got to remember, Israel and Judah are next-door neighbors, okay? The best example I can give, if during our own civil war, if the South and North had broken up, you know, we'd be next-door neighbors. Well, that's how it was. The kingdom split up after the death of King Solomon. You had the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes of Judah. And they were next-door neighbors. And sometimes they got along, sometimes they didn't, okay? They were kind of like siblings. And Ahab turns to King Jehoshaphat and says, hey, you know, that king over Amon, he owes me a city here. It's been 3 years. Would you go along with me, help me reclaim that city? And Jehoshaphat says, well, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses, your horses. But then Jehoshaphat says, but wait a minute, though. Because remember, Jehoshaphat, kingdom of Judah, they had the capital of Jerusalem, which means they still have the temple to the one Lord, the one God. And so he says, inquire first for the word of the Lord. And Ahaz said, we can do that. Now, he calls up 400 prophets, and it's interesting because you may recall how when Elijah had his showdown, there was 450 prophets of Baal that were killed. But also mentioned there was 400 prophets who were false prophets, and they kind of disappeared. And this is probably the same group of guys, 400 of them. And so Ahab asked them, should I go to battle to Ramoth or not? And they said, oh, king, go up. For the Lord will give it to your hands. But Jehoshaphat has enough discernment to realize, this doesn't sound right. So he asks Ahab, is there no other prophet of the Lord of whom I may inquire? And listen to what Ahab says. Well, there is still one by the name who may require the Lord. No, Micaiah. But I hate him. Why? For he never prophesies anything favorably about me, but on disaster. Ahab says, well, I got one prophet, a guy named Micaiah, but I don't even like him. He never has anything to say good about me. It's always bad news. Same thing happens today in churches. Folks go in church, and they ain't never happy with the preacher. They walk out, and they say, that preacher, he's always talking about me, I feel like. I feel like one Sunday he got on my case because I wasn't being respectful of my parents. And I feel like one Sunday he's got on my case because I was been cussing. And then one Sunday he's on my case because I've been stealing. And every Sunday he was on my case because I've been playing around. And really all the pastor was doing is doing a series on the Ten Commandments. You know, if you get mad at the preacher every time he preaches, then I say something about you, not the preacher. But Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say that. And so Ahab tells the servant, says, go get Micaiah, bring him here. And talks about how both Ahab and Jehoshaphat are on their thrones. They're at the gates of Samaria, at the threshing floor. And meanwhile, the prophets are putting on this big show. And this one prophet, a guy named Zechariah, he takes some irons and pretend like they're horns and says, thus says the Lord, with these horns, you're going to gore the Arameans and have a great battle. They'll be destroyed. And all their prophets saying, go to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it to the hand of the king. Well, meanwhile, the messenger is talking to the prophet, Micaiah, and says, now listen, Micaiah, there's 400 prophets, and they're all telling the king he's going to have a great victory. So you need to get with the program and tell them the same thing. And Micaiah says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. So, Micaiah shows up. Ahab, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead and fight, or should we refrain? And this is interesting, because Micaiah says, go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. So, apparently, he must be saying this kind of sarcastically, you know, the way he does it. Because Ahab responds, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth? In the name of the Lord, you know. So Ahab knows that he's being sarcastic and like, tell me the truth, you know. And listen to this, Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one go home in peace. Now, you don't have to have a degree in theology when the prophet says, I saw sheep scatter like a shepherd. Who's the shepherd? That'd be King Ahab. The sheep would be his soldiers. Well, this irritates Ahab. He turns to Jehoshaphat and says, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything favorably about me, but only disaster? In other words, I told you this guy never says anything good about me. And then we have a very interesting scripture here. This is a scripture that kind of pulls back the veil between earth and heaven and gives us a sneak peek. He says, the prophet says, I saw the Lord seated on his throne, and I saw the spirits of heaven on his left and his right. And the Lord asked the question, who will entice Ahab so he may go up and fall Ramoth-Gilead? In other words, I got a job, somebody. I want somebody to get Ahab go to battle so he may die. And one spirit steps forward and says, I will entice him. And the Lord says, how will you do it? I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do it. And Micah ends by saying, so you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Now, is that kind of shocking that the Lord is having a meeting with some very disagreeable people in heaven? But you know, when you read the book of Job, it's some simmer, isn't it? The Lord is having a business meeting, and there's Satan, the accuser. What you been up to, Satan? Oh, going back and forth on the earth. Have you seen my servant Job, blameless and upright? Fears God, shuns evil, in all the land, there's no one like him. Ah, Job's just like that because you just bar him off. Take away his wealth and health, and he'll curse you to your face. But what about in the New Testament? At the Last Supper, when Jesus tells Simon Peter, oh, Simon, Simon, Satan's been asking for you, but I've been praying for you. Satan's want to shift you like wheat, but I've been praying for you that after you have recovered your faith, you will be an encouragement to your brothers. Sometimes we're unaware there is a spiritual battle going on in our society, and it deals with individuals as well. That's why the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh, but spirits and principalities. Therefore, bearing the full armor of God. And notice this, goes both God's justice and mercy. God's justice said, King Ahab's going to die in this battle. But God, in his goodness and mercy, gave Ahab a heads up. I think the reason he did was he was going to have one last chance to repent of his evil ways and turn towards him. Now, the New Testament said that God isn't willing for any to perish, but all to repent and be saved. And so here's a prophet saying, Ahab, these guys are lying to you. They have an evil spirit. And that's why you've heard me come down hard against your Ouija boards and horoscopes and psychics and all that. Anything that takes you away from reading this book and following God's ways is going to get you in trouble. And when you dabble with that, you're going to ask for trouble and be deceived. Well, when Micah says this, that false prophet slaps on the face and says, which way does the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to you to speak? And Micah doesn't miss a beat and replies, you will find out on the day when you go hide in your inner chamber. Boy, when you're hiding in the house down in the basement, you will find out. And Ahab gets mad and says, take Micah, turn to Governor Amon, and tell him to put this guy in prison and give him rations of bread and water till I come back in peace. And Micah says, well, if you come back in peace, the Lord has spoken through me. And so they haul Micah off, throw him in the prison. And Jehoshaphat and Ahab go into battle. But then listen to this. Ahab pulls Jehoshaphat aside and says, I got an idea. When we go into battle, I'm going to wear a disguise and wear on some armor. I'm going to wear on some fatigues and camouflage. But you dress in your robe, okay? And Jehoshaphat is dumb enough to go along with that. Now, you don't have to be a genius in military strategy to know what's going on. Ahab's thinking, I'll be dressed like a regular soldier. And then the enemy will see Jehoshaphat and think that's me and go after him and leave me alone. And so they go into battle. And sure enough, the enemy sees the royal carriage and the royal robes and go chasing them. And Jehoshaphat cries out to the Lord, and they say, wait a minute, that's not Ahab, that's someone else. We don't want him. No, let him go. And then for the king Ahab, a certain man drew his bow, and unknowingly struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. In other words, in the heat of battle, somebody shot off an arrow, and it managed to hit Ahab in his one weak spot in his armor. Ahab tells his driver, "Turn me around, come around the battle if I am wounded." And so they prop up Ahab in that chariot, and he watches the battle. And there he is, bleeding to death. And he dies. And at sunset, the army disperses, scattered like sheep, just as the prophet had warned. And then what happened to Ahab? They took him home and buried him. And then somebody said, "Well, we better clean out this chariot. It's all covered with blood." So they take it out and they wash out the blood. And when they do that, the dogs in the street come up and start licking up that water and that blood, fulfilling what the prophet had warned years earlier. Now, what about us this morning? What can we get from this? I mean, we're not necessarily kings, anybody important. But I feel like all of us can learn some Ahab. One is, we need to be paying attention to where our information comes from. Ahab had 400 false prophets giving him bad advice. But he had one prophet of the Lord who told it like it is. It's important that you have that righteous person in your life speaking truth in your life, whether you like it or not. And then secondly, when you hear the voice of truth, you need to listen and heed the voice of truth. It's awful that Ahab and Jehoshaphat ignored the one true prophet and went off to battle. And then finally, we need to be aware of both God's justice and his mercy. God's justice said, King Ahab shall die. And yet, in God's mercy, he gave Ahab one last chance to get out of this mess. When the Lord allowed the prophet to say, "Ahab, I saw the shepherd struck down, sheep scattered." Ahab had a chance to say, "Oh, dear Lord, I messed up. I need to repent and not do this." But instead, he ignored the prophet, listened to false prophets, and it ended in destruction. Anytime you ignore the word of the Lord and follow the ways of false prophets, you will end up in destruction. You see, in the end, it really wasn't so much the King Aram army that killed Ahab. It's so much that Ahab self-destructed. He destroyed himself. He signed up for that trip, and though he was warned, he went along with it. So my prayer today for all of us, that we will always be listening to the word of the Lord, not to the majority, but the word of the Lord. And when we hear it, we heed it, and we obey it. Thanks be to God. Amen.